Yeah, we're just talking about health things and food and illnesses and diabetes and things like that. One thing, obviously two of the biggest vices that people have, drinking and smoking and I mean, I always have a feeling that those things are sort of overblamed for, health problems and cancers and things. I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, they definitely contribute, I suppose. It's always hard to say.
Yeah, it's definitely odd. I would think that diabetes is definitely, caused by, probably the aspartame and the corn syrup and stuff.
Yeah, well, no, number one is high fructose corn syrup, and then that right there is just liquid diabetes. It really is. And if you look at it, the reason they started, obviously, a lot of these things are started just out of greed, and then the population controllers realize that it's also killing people too. Then Big Pharma gets into it, and pretty soon, it benefits everybody to have high fructose corn syrup in your Pepsi, and that's what it is. It's one big ugly wheel, and at some points it's just greed. But the controllers behind it, they do know, obviously that this is going to be bad for you, that's going to be bad for you. And of course, why do you think that they make a McDonald's meal cheaper than going to a nice restaurant, and it's nice and fast food, but it's the worst shit you're gonna get on earth. It's microwaved pink slime and whatever, and that's just it's like that with everything. And if you think about it, look at the invention of TV dinners, microwaves. All this stuff was meant, well, whether it was meant to or not, it's brought a slow kill. Look at that. You're not supposed to be radiating your food.
No, that's awful. I was talking about that with James a couple times about that. Like, I never use the microwave.
Nope.
Brad, you're back on with us, right?
Yeah, correct.
All right, sorry about that. My power actually went down. We're having a thunderstorm, and it's gone down 3 times tonight, but it happened to do that one in the middle of the show. What
No,
was
that's not good. Don't you have a backup generator?
No, I wish I did. What's on your mind tonight? What made you call in? What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, well, just being a first-time listener, yeah, it's quite good to, listen to what you guys have to say. You guys are hitting the spot on a lot of things, I feel.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad that you tuned in to us, and I hope you can continue to do so in the future. I'm sure you'll like it.
Yeah, so is the show just once a week, is it?
Yeah, it's sometimes once a week, sometimes it's every other week, because some weeks we just don't have enough stuff on the menu, or we're preparing for a big show. But it's at least three times a month, maybe four. We try and do it every week when we
Oh.
can. Sometimes we skip a week, but usually we're on either Tuesday or Wednesday night. We always, we'll announce it, a day or two before and let everybody know. But
Cool.
James was saying that your brother has
So,
diabetes. Do you have any thoughts on what we were talking about?
I heard what you guys were talking about, and in regards to that, yeah, it's quite interesting. What did James say? Sorry, I didn't catch that.
No, he had mentioned that your brother has diabetes.
Yeah, correct.
And has he ever tried any like alternative methods to try and beat it, or has he taken insulin, or what's his deal? Like, how bad is it? How long's he had it?
He got it when he was about 15 or so, I think. I think I don't know what brings it on. Like, people say there's like it's what you eat and whatnot that which brings it on. What do you guys believe? What do you think actually brings it on, though?
Well, in my opinion, a lot of it is, a lot of it, people are genetically predisposed to certain things, So, I mean, some cases you're not going to be able to, some cases it might have been inevitable. However, what you eat definitely does play a huge part in it, and it just might be, that there's, there's a lot of luck in stuff like this with like gluten-free diets and stuff like that, where you know, you take out gluten. You know, gluten is something that's even people are linking in studies to what's that new fake disease? HDD, the one they give the ADD, the one that they tell every school kid they have.
They tell every kid they can put them on
right, Ritalin,
antidepressants, and
Ritalin, or Adderall, whatever else, which is really just it's just speed. It's all it is. They're giving these kids speed, and it works in reverse on them for a while, and you know, so they sit there like a zombie, and the teacher's happy because she doesn't have to control this kid, but now he's now he's a shell of himself. And that's the indoctrination center for you and the attachment to Big Pharma. But, you know, I think it's far, like I was saying about your brother, though, I would definitely search it and maybe find a diet that might help with it. And he might be able to totally cure himself of it. I do know people that have controlled it and curing it, you know, with it. I don't know have cured it, but I've heard of people, you know, totally getting rid of diabetes.
I think he has gone close to self-curing. He has gone close to that, but I mean, he's just not hitting the right ingredient. But yeah, there definitely is something out there. They're keeping it pretty quiet because there's a cure for everything. Well, not everything, but there's a cure for most things. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I would definitely agree but with they, that.
Yeah, they like to keep a lot of things secretive. They don't tend to share a lot of the knowledge. A lot of those doctors are lose a lot of trust in them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, and most of the doctors, I don't think that they're bad people. I think it's the training that they've been through.
Right.
And the medical establishments that they were, you know, the schools that they went to and everything.
That's the whole point, exactly, guys. Is, you know, like Brian's saying, it's not the fact that the doctor is doing it to be a bad guy. They don't know. You know, they are smart people. They do go to school and learn a lot of stuff. However, they learn what's wrong with you. They do not learn treatments. They only learn, you know, they're taught by people that are in bed with Big Pharma, you know. So it's all about just how to diagnose stuff and then what to give them afterwards. You know, there is the exception to that rule, but, you know, they have certain rules and stuff, and it's like anything else. Are you going to give up your, $300,000 a year job, you know, just to take a stand? After a while, you know, you're going to say, hey, no, it's not worth it. I want to, you know, feed my kids and whatnot and still keep my nice boat and everything, you know. So it's like anything else. But, no, I think, you know, they're not intentionally trying to harm anyone, but I still think by their inaction of looking into this stuff, they're doing us a disservice.
Yeah, imagine if they just had the right training and they were really taught how to treat people. I mean, people, I think, and I know that James and I have talked about this before, that people's life expectancy should really be much higher than it is. If we were fed the right foods and everything, I mean, people should live to be at least 100, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and like I was saying earlier, too, the oxygen intake, it's not as much, you know, there's things that are going on intentionally to, you know, to stop from happening and, you know, to stop us from getting, all the vitamins that we need and everything else. Like, you know, and plus with healthcare nowadays, and they only show us, like, probably 50% of what they have. They say that the technology is really 20 years ahead of what they have, and to think of the fact that they've made diseases like AIDS, what's it called, anthrax, into something so weaponized that you breathe in a particle of it and you're dead within hours.
Do you think that's true, though? Do you think that might have been a scare tactic because of 9/11, or do you think the anthrax thing is totally real?
No, anthrax is totally real. Anthrax, you can find anthrax on a farm. It grows what they did is it I believe it grows in cow shit, but what they do is they somehow rust, and I don't know, they take it and they weaponize it so far down because those were the media, the ones they sent it to were the media outlets that weren't involved. You know what I'm saying? And that was their way to keep their mouth shut. And they send it to a couple, you know, Democratic congressmen.
Tom Daschle was one of them.
Tom Daschle and Pat Leahy were the two. And they sent it to those two, the Speaker of the House, the next guy, pretty much just to set a precedent. And they sent it to Tom Brokaw at CBS. I don't believe there's a lot of CBS coverage, and or CBS or NBC, wherever he was. It's very possible that, you know, that those companies, and then the other one was the National Enquirer. So maybe they even wanted to keep, you know, some of the stuff out of the National Enquirer, you know, some of the 9/11 Truth stuff out of there for a little while until they got the disinfo sorted out. Who knows? Or maybe someone down there they knew, you know. But the places they sent it to are real suspect. And, it definitely helped with the fear and the fact that they, you know, they tried to blame it on the boogeyman. But I believe that was 100% real, the fact
Don't you remember how scared people were? Never mind the whole thing where people thought, you know, there were terrorists that wanted to kill us and all this. But people were literally scared to open their mail. Like, everybody was. Like, the post office must have taken a huge hit. Like, literally. Like, Sarah, I'm not even joking. Like, people weren't sending mail or opening mail. Like, they were scared for a while.
And if you think it's something too, now doesn't that also do something else where it almost makes you push you towards the internet as well and push you towards isolation? You know, that's what they've done. They've made us so reliant on all this, you know, technology and everything else, that, you know, it's you have to look back at some of these things and think, you know, was that part of their agenda? You know, it was. Look at people nowadays. Back in the day, there was people out all the time, you know, there was block parties, there was people, you know, nowadays the type of thing, place where, like, you walk down the street and you, like, smile at some lady or whatever and she's clutching her purse like you're gonna fucking throw her on the ground and take it, you know. And that's just people nowadays are just so scared of the unknown and scared of, you know, of someone, you know,
they're scared of confrontation of like, yeah, no face to face. Any people will break up with you on Facebook. You know what I mean? Like, they won't even do it to your face. You know what I mean?
Yep, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember what was, just talking about the anthrax? Yeah. What
today's
was right
today?
Today's
Friday. Just take. I mean,
what was right up the backside of the anthrax was that whole Washington sniper thing. That year or the next year, I think.
Yeah.
That was a big fear thing, and not just that, but you know, right throughout the 80s and the 90s, a huge increase in like serial killers and things like that. You know, I've looked into some of those, and they could quite easily be. You know, I mean, obviously some of them are real, but some of those body counts are so inflated, you wonder, with all the DNA evidence and the advancements they've made, how it's so hard for one person to get away with a murder, but then some people rack up like 50 body counts, you know, and that's a huge part of the fear too, the serial killers, particularly that were prevalent.
That DC sniper thing was big. I'm glad you brought that up. I totally forgot all about that. Because that made people scared to even go pump gas into their cars.
Right.
I mean, they were scared to be outside, you know? Brad, you were going to say something? I seen your Skype lighting up when James started talking too. What's up?
Oh, right. What I was going to cover is just about, you know, today's society and just how everything's changing. And everyone does everything through social media, and they don't sort of do things face-to-face nowadays.
No, not at all. It's crazy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just think that's kind of killing everyone, you know? Like, people were too afraid to, you know, meet with people and do things because they just don't know what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy how it's changed. People that, you know... I have friends that rather than tell me, you know, there's an issue or they don't agree with me on things or whatever, they just, like, I haven't talked to in months, and they just they take me off their Facebook, like, instead of, you know, call me on the phone and tell me what's the issue or something. You know what I mean? It's like people are so different now. Everything's done through, like, the computer and the internet, and there's no face to face. It's like even, like I said, like with relationships and stuff, people will break up with you over the computer. You know what I mean? They won't even do it to your face. It's pretty crazy. It makes people really antisocial, you know?
Yep.
And it makes it so they can also track it. Like, let's just say we weren't so reliant on the internet and everything, and let's just say the four of us lived near each other and we were going to discuss these issues. Well, we'd probably meet somewhere. We'd meet at a coffee shop, or we'd meet at, you know, a restaurant or something, and we'd sit down and eat and chat or whatever. Now people don't, you know, people don't even do that. They do it all through, you know, Skype, Facebook, Gmail, you know, YouTube, whatever, and all of those conversations, I'm sure, are being tracked, you know?
Yeah, and it's not just the online stuff, but even like when you go into the store, the grocery store now, like it's a machine that you deal with, and not like an actual person. You know, if you go to the bank and you're dealing with a robot and not like a real person. You know, you're replacing people with machines. Like,
I hate that, like the self checkout. Like if you go to Home Depot, yeah. that you can, you know, scan your own items and pay for it. I hate doing that. I want to talk to a person at the register. I always hate those self-checkout things. They started doing that probably like, you know, 7-8 years ago. They're in a lot of places now.
Yeah. I remember when I was like 13, 14, got the glory years, sort of as a little pre-teenager, you know, or a young teenager. MySpace wasn't quite around yet, and we just had MSN and obviously, you know, Yahoo and then just basically emails, but it was like a good mix. It was a good mix of the social media but also the face-to-face stuff as well. And you know, like if you wanted a girl's number, you had to, even if you're online, you'd probably still have to ask her for it. But nowadays, you can just get a girl's number. They put it on their Facebook page, you know. Or if you wanted a girl's picture, you had to ask her to send it to you, you know. But now you can just go on their page and look at it, like. Yeah, people are like losing their social skills and stuff, you know.
Totally, I've totally noticed it.
Hey, Brian and Justin.
Yeah. What's up?
Yeah. I've just got to just thank you for the time, and I've got to shoot off. I've got to get back to work, but yeah, it's good having this first conversation, and we'll be in contact in the further shows, mate.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling in. I hope you can
definitely.
You can tune in again, you know. And I'm sure, you know, James will tell you when we're on or whatever. Or if you want to follow one of our groups or whatever, I'll drop you a link and you can, you know, see when we're on. We're usually on Tuesday nights, though, at about 10 o'clock.
Yeah, sorry if I took you as a bit of subject tonight, but yeah, I wasn't too sure what you guys were covering.
No, man. We're covering anything. Some nights like this. You know, anything you want to get into, man, you got in your mind, anything, you know. So a lot of times we come here spitballing. We got a couple talking points. Besides that, for the most part, you know, if a caller's got something a little bit more important or we got to say, hey, you know, let's get it out on the table.
Yeah, there's been shows where 5 minutes before the show, me and Justin have had no idea what we were going to talk about, and then we've gone on for 6 hours. So.
All right, guys, I've got to shoot back a bit, but yeah, thanks, then. I'll catch you guys.
All right, Brad, have a good one.
All right, Brad, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, it's always good to have a new caller, new listeners, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Anybody that's listening tonight also, I am an idiot, okay? And I forgot to check the certain like administrative page on our forum that we set up, and we've been trying to get people to join our forum, and like, over the last week or so, we've had 132 people trying to join. So all of you guys that have tried to join, if any of you guys are listening right now, you guys are all part of the forum now. We have like 160 members now or something crazy. There were 132 people in queue waiting to get into the forum. So I changed the setting so that it doesn't have to be any confirmation now. People can just click on it and join. So I'm sure there'll be a few we'll have to weed out after, but it's better than people having to wait around, you know? We had a ton of people since we did our September 11th show, Justin. A ton of people. Probably 100 people came from that day, you know? So that's good, you know? It means a lot of people will listen to the archive of that show, too, you know? Besides just the people that listen live.
Yeah. It's good what I was thinking of before as well, what I was talking about. Yeah, because I was... My generation, because I'm 23, like, sort of stuck somewhere in between yours and Justin's, but I know, like, when you went to early high school, like, I assume if you wanted a girl's number, you had to ask if, well, you didn't even have cell phones, I suppose, but, like, you know, like, it's too easy, like, people can, like, go out with each other without even meeting each other, you know, now, like.
Yeah, it's just insane that you would even, you know, think of doing that, you know?
Yeah, we definitely, we didn't have cell phones or anything. We had, maybe in my later high school years, we had pagers. Remember the beepers, well, Justin?
Yeah. Now I think I'm 3 years younger than Brian or so. So like I pretty much would have been, you know, like a freshman or sophomore when he was probably a senior or whatever, you know, but yeah, no, I remember 8th grade freshman year, I had a pager. I didn't get a cell phone until I was a senior in high school. But and I was one of the only people, you know, that had one at the time. And that's, you know, that's it was really I don't know.
It was better though. Everything was better back then. It
was. It was, you know, and now it's like nowadays, even when you know, everybody's texting, like, I'm hanging out with people, and they're sitting there texting, it's like, you know, do you really have to keep in touch with that person 24 hours a day, like, you know? Yeah.
Oh, it creates so much problems with relationships when, like, you're a guy, and you're going out with a girl, and she's sitting there texting other guys, like, even if they're just friends, like, that would never happen in the old days. Like, if you had a girl with you on a date, you'd have her attention the whole time, you know? Like, how do you not get jealous in a relationship today? Like,
and that
just makes, as if relationships and marriages before weren't hard enough to maintain as it is. It's just added another dynamic to the, every girl's got 100 guys' numbers in their phone, and guys are just as bad too. And like, it just creates so many problems because, you know, it's not good to be possessive, but, you know, if you're going out with someone, I mean, particularly, like, it doesn't even have to be a real attractive girl either. Like, you just go on your girlfriend's page or whatever, and it creates problems, you know, because people are so bored.
Absolutely.
People say things to their friends, like, that have got partners that they'd never be able to get away with, you know, like, in the old days, like.
Oh, definitely.
It's crazy with the, it's so bad that, I noticed, I was going to say something about this, yesterday or something to one of my friends, and I was at work, and I deliver food right now. That's what I do. Okay, so I'm driving all night when I'm working, and I got stuck at 3 stop signs. Okay, they weren't even red lights because the car in front of me was too busy on their phone texting. They had totally stopped the 4-way stop sign and decided they were gonna sit there and text for like 20 seconds. And I'm over here waiting, trying to make money, and they're just like sitting there. And I look over, and they're sitting on their phone texting at a 4-way stop sign. And this happened 3 times in one night. This was I think it was either Sunday or Monday night. It happened 3 times. 3 times I had to beat my horn because the people were sitting there playing with their phone when they're supposed to be driving their car. And I'm not saying I never ever do it, but I mean, it's like, it's become such a distraction too, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, at least they're pulled over when doing it. I've been in cars with people that are texting and driving, like, oh, not with me in the car. I don't play that shit. You know what I'm saying? You can't wait 10 minutes or give me the phone and you know, what are you texting right now that's important? And they're swerving all over the fucking road.
I got a friend that drives with it on the steering wheel, dude. He holds 2 hands, right? Picture this. Picture if you hold your phone sideways, say it's like 6 inches or whatever, right? So he holds the phone at the top of the steering wheel. He puts his 2 hands, like one index finger of each hand to hold the phone. And then he's holding the steering wheel with 3 fingers of each hand. And he's like looking at the phone as he's steering the car, dude. And he's texting. Wow. And I'm like scared to death. I'm like, you're going to kill us, man. What are you doing? Stop.
Hey, I've seen people driving with their knees.
A lot of you can drive with your knees somewhat, you know, but you gotta have your eyes in the road though, you know. At least you can grab the wheel if you got it, you know. I mean, if you do it for a second because you're doing something or whatever, but you can't drive all over town with your freaking knees, you know.
Yeah, I mean, back in the old days, you know, you had to worry about obviously drunk driving and things like drug driving and stuff, but that's on a smaller level, and obviously. It's down to, like, Yeah, I mean, but now there's a whole new, in the last 15, 20 years, with the advent of iPods and phones. And
yeah, distracted driving.
It's a new hazard, and it's, boys, there's enough to worry about on the road already, you know. It really is a war zone out there.
Let's be honest, if you're talking on the phone, it's bad enough, you know? Just talking, yeah. You can be distracted. And everybody does it anyways. And I do it too. Everybody talks on the phone while they drive. But to sit there and have your hands tied to the phone because you're texting and not paying attention to the steering wheel is just, that's just so dangerous.
Yeah. On the topic of the whole social media, I don't know what it's like over there. I assume it's bad. You guys have a big problem with bullying and, you know, like young kids and with the social media and, you know, people committing suicide and that sort of thing.
Yeah, we have those same things over here. Yep, definitely.
It's never been as bad as it is now because for the kids now, like, the parents, they can't really control it, you know, and it, just with the Facebook and the texting and, I mean, you can't just take a kid's phone away and his computer away. I mean, like, you know, but like even at school, like they still go on the, but when they're at a friend's house, like you're never away from that social media and that bullying. And I imagine 30 years ago, if you got bullied at school, well, at least when you went home, it stopped for the day, you know. But now it's like with the social media and the cell phones, and like some kids, it never stops.
Yeah, I remember it happened a lot with when MySpace was big. You would hear about MySpace bullying and people getting, you know, there were a few kids that I know, not that I know personally, but I'm saying from news stories, a few kids that I knew of that supposedly killed themselves because of being bullied on MySpace. And Facebook's the same thing. I mean, it's not really, it's just set up a little different. It's the same idea, though, you know. People can leave all types of comments on your wall and send you messages.
I mean, you got to be careful, obviously, because people who commit suicide are obviously, there's never usually one thing, but it's a combination of factors. And I guess what we're talking about too, about depression, and obviously diet and things comes into play as well, and what we're eating and stuff, and exercise and all that sort of thing. But that bullying can be a huge part of it for young people, and it's another huge issue. But I mean, like, we bag social media here, but you know, we need it for the show, and we need it to get our message out and all that sort of thing. So it has its good and its bad. But just for young people growing up today, particularly, you know, preteens, 12, 13, 14, it's a totally different world.
Yeah, it's definitely something for parents to have to worry about a lot more. And being like, you know, back when I was younger, if I was going to go somewhere, let's say I was 11, 12 years old, and my parents, you know, drove me to a friend's house, they pretty much knew where I was or whatever, or what I was doing or who I was interacting with. Nowadays, with the computer, your kid can be in your own house, you can be in the kitchen, and they could be talking to, maybe not even a bully, they could be talking to a child predator online, you know? I mean, it's crazy.
Oh, you know, but there's another thing, too, though. It is crazy, but I'll tell you what, a lot of that is overblown, too, to where, you know, they have everybody thinking that everyone's out to get their kid. You know, I'm not saying online, but I'm saying, like, you know, that's thing, like, why you don't see kids playing outside anymore, and like it's all play dates and shit like that. Like, where we used to just go on the road with three or four friends, and you know, as long as you don't go by yourself, you know. But if how is it the kids are, it's so bad they won't even go down the street and, like, you know, play basketball or not, you know. It's that's that's gotten in the past 10 years. That's part of it too, you know. Obviously, too, to make everyone think that everyone's a pedo, you know, out to, to get, you know.
They definitely do overblow that a little bit, but there is, you know, there is a fair amount of it going on. I mean,
oh no.
With what happened,
no,
like around here with the church and everything. I mean,
no doubt about it. But on the other hand, like I said, there's ways to combat it too. That those happen with people that they, you know, because, you know, like church. But if you're, you know, most kids aren't going to get molested. Just go with their buddy to the basketball court and then come home before, you know, goes down. You know what I'm saying? yeah. That's the type of shit that we're not seeing no more. No, of course. We around here was rocked by you know, altar boys that got molested too. And what they were doing, obviously, throughout all these states up here, is they were taking, say, a guy got caught in Massachusetts, they would send him to a new church. Yeah. They'd send him to a new in Connecticut or New York or New Jersey.
Pray. It was ridiculous. Right. They just relocated hundreds of priests, hundreds of them. They just bounced them around from church to church every time they got caught. That was part of the whole scandal too. That maybe some people don't realize is they didn't just molest kids and the church not say anything. The church knew, and the church actively covered it up. And rather than worrying about, you know, what's going to happen to these kids, they were giving the priests a whole new slew of kids to prey on, and they did it over and over again. That happened a lot. It's funny you don't hear much about that, but you hear about Muhammad wants to kill children and rape women and stuff. But over here in actuality, you know, the priests really were raping a lot of little boys, and there were actually a lot of them in my city. I know of a couple of them. They weren't close friends of mine. One's like a cousin of a friend. You know, another one is a friend of a friend, but there were a lot of them. You know, they had lawsuits and everything. Like this definitely happened. You know, it wasn't a scare thing. Like, it's pretty sickening. You know, it's pretty sickening that they in the church is like not nowadays. I think nowadays the perception's changed a little bit, but back when I was a little kid, parents would have a lot of faith in the church and would never think that something like that would ever happen. You know, like they would trust leaving the kid with the church, or what do they call those little field trips they go on with the church, Justin?
I know what you're talking about. What the f*** is it called? It starts with an R.
Yeah, it does. I can't even think of it. A retreat.
A retreat, yes.
Yeah, they would go on retreats with the church, and you gotta wonder about some of that, you know? Like, I don't know, man. I'm glad I was never a part of that, you know? Like, my parents never really forced it on me to go to church. They didn't really like church much. I had to go to Sunday school for a few years, maybe just like 3 or 4 years. If you don't know what Sunday school is out there, guys, it's the same thing as CCD, but instead of being on Monday nights, it was Sundays during the day.
Well, yeah, it's for Protestants or Lutheran or whatever. Yeah,
that's what my parents were, I guess, Protestant, but they weren't.
Right.
They never practiced it, never went to church or anything. But that's where I had to go. I went to Sunday school for like 3 or 4 years. But I was so active with sports and playing soccer and baseball and everything that they realized it was kind of just a waste of my time, and they were probably sick of driving me, you know, back and forth, you know, both ways to soccer, then to a baseball game and to church on the same day. Well, you know,
for me, here's the thing: is I grew up with a Catholic background, but around here it's more or less like the it's more or less it's not so much the Catholic thing; it's more or less the traditions that come along with it. For example, like, you know, especially like with the Italian side and everything, you know, as far as that goes, it's a big thing to get these stupid sacraments and everything, you know. And so I would do them. I knew I was getting money from my aunts and uncles and shit and whatever else. So,
like the first communion and that type of thing, you mean?
First communion. I even got confirmed. You know, I went as far as getting confirmed. I haven't been to church. Like, I've probably been I don't know, 10 times since then, not counting funerals and baptisms.
And stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've probably been back 10 times since I was confirmed, which is, you know, when I was like 16 and 15, something like that. Yeah, but yeah, no, it's, I don't know, I totally fell out of favor with the Catholic Church. And you know, that's one thing about the guy I work with I was talking about earlier. This guy, I do not understand it. They bilked his elderly mother out of $220 a month, you know, because they went and built all this new shit, and then the bad economy hit, and they needed money, so they bilked a 90-something-year-old woman out of $220 a month, telling her, you know, and she's living off Social Security, and this guy still goes there and gives like $5-$10 a week in the basket. And I told him, I said, listen, I said, with what they pulled to your mother, you're nuts. I wouldn't step foot in there again. And they haven't even visited his mother since she's been in the nursing home. I said, I wouldn't step foot in there again. I actually wrote on his behalf. I sent him an email and told him how big a scumbags they were for not going and visiting this old lady, you know, that's probably going to not make it too much longer. You know what I'm saying? And to her, the church is a big deal, and, you know, an old Irish lady, and you know. But that's what it is. It's a big money pit. That's all they are, you know, organized churches.
Yeah, I wonder how much times have changed versus how much we're just older and out of the loop. But I do think that they probably times have changed a lot. Like, I don't know if it still goes on, but, like, when I was little, you know, I remember a few close friends of mine that their parents would give a percentage of their check every week to the church. No, that's right. Crazy.
Yep.
I don't know if it still goes on as much today. I know,
yeah.
James, you're a little younger. I mean, do people do that a lot over there? Did you notice, you know, as a teenager that a few of your close friends, like their parents, would give a certain percentage of their check to the church all the time? Or
Yeah, a few. Yeah, I know a few people whose families do that, yeah. It's not like a huge amount, but usually a fixed amount. Like
it's sometimes about, you know, 5 to 10%. And here's the thing: is my grandfather actually, my grandfather, when he was training for World War II, one of his sisters died, and because she was divorced back then, they wouldn't bury her in a Catholic church. And he came all the way home, had to, you know. Make a long story short, that always pissed him off. And then when he moved after he got out of the war, had a family and everything, he was going to get in the church, and, you know, he just wanted for the neighborhood. And told him that he had to give 10% of his check, and that was it. He said, "Fuck that, I'm not, you know, you're not telling me what I got to give you, you know." But there's people that do that. They give a certain amount. That's what Mitt Romney does, so that he can use the LDS Mormon label. He gives us a certain amount, and I'm sure it's not. And that's another reason he's hiding his taxes, is because
he writes all that off in his taxes after. Yeah.
Well, the main reason is he's hiding it from the Mormons, because they want to know how much he makes so they could take more money for his, because Mormons is almost like a Mason type thing where you buy status in the church. You know, even Catholic Church is somewhat the same, but, you know, It's really like you buy your status in the church. You can, like, buy, like, you know, if you spend money and participate, you're gonna move up and you're gonna get certain things, you know. And that's how sad it is.
Yeah, I can remember. Mostly people over here are Catholic. I can remember a lot of people poking fun at me as a child because I was Protestant. Like, there's not really a difference, is there? Hey, I mean,
no, there really isn't. You know. Difference is that Protestants don't believe in any saints or anything like that. That's the main difference. They believe that's idol worship. You know, but the whole thing is, but you know, the whole thing about Catholics and Protestants is, you know, you had a lot of fighting going on, especially like in Ireland and stuff. But the main thing is like everything else, the certain you know, powers that be have controlled both sides. You know, just like the Shiites and Sunnis and whatnot, and it's, you know, there's little small belief structure, you know, changes like that, you know. And but then you have the a lot of the sect of people anti New World, they call themselves Protestants, they call themselves Calvinists or whatever. I don't know. I don't like.
Lost your mic, Justin.
You know, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's how I look at it. And I don't know. To me nowadays, I don't know. I some of this stuff, I do have some of those leanings, but I can't really go 100% there, because, you know, then that would be like saying that I would have to turn a blind eye to some truths, and I'm not willing to do that, you know, so... Pretty much, you know, I don't know. I do have, you know, I don't know. I don't really like to talk too much about my own personal beliefs, but I do believe that there was a dude named Jesus, and he was like a revolutionary type dude that, you know, that pretty much told the Zionists and, you know, the money changers of the day, the Rothschilds of their day, and the Romans to go fuck themselves. And that's why they hung him and made a mockery of him. If you ask me,
you say it, you're like, I believe there was a dude named Jesus. That's awesome. People don't usually call Jesus a dude.
He was, and you know what? You know, and let's be real. It wasn't that pale faced Jesus that we're told he was. He probably looked like an Arab type dude. You know, to be honest, I'm not. You know. I'm not one of these white guys gonna say no. Jesus was white. No, he lived in the Middle East. Most likely, he looked like the guy that down the same guy that's getting persecuted nowadays. And that's what a lot of people don't want to associate. They want to see the blonde haired Jesus with the one that looks like he should be in the Beatles or something. I don't know. That's just my take on it. Brian, Anon 2037 wants to call in and talk about 9/11 in a bit. Just give them a cue. I don't know. I mean, probably not going to be on too much longer, so I mean, why don't you just call in now?
Yeah, just call in now. Call in now. We'll talk about it for a little bit because we probably not going to be on too much longer. I know Justin's got to work in the morning and stuff. And for anybody that is listening, next week we're going to have Jim Fetzer on the, I don't know what you would call him, but, the 9/11 guy you guys see him on, probably seen him on TV or you've seen him wherever. He's pretty well known in the thing, and we're going to ask him some things, a thing or two when he comes on, so make sure you tune in for that next week. Yeah, Veterans Today. Yeah,
Veterans Today is his website and whatnot. There's, he's a 9/11 researcher. We'll leave it at that for now. Yeah,
we're going to add Equinox to the call. That's who's calling right now. Hold on. Equinox.
Hey, how you doing, Brian? All right?
Hey, doing good. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks yourself.
You're on. What's with, up,
you? How you doing,
Justin,
buddy?
Justin and James and myself.
I gotta turn off. Yep, guys, I'm online. I just had to turn off the background noise, and I'm all set to go. How you doing, Justin and James? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to hear from you too, EQ. How you been?
Yeah, good, man, good. Hey, just sort of enjoying this warm weather down here in Australia and just getting back into the 9/11 research and stuff. It's been going good. We've got a few new discoveries and things. And I don't think I'm going to make next week's show, but I wanted to maybe run over a few things, a few points of 9/11. Maybe a few listeners might be interested in. Firstly, I'm pretty well known with Brian and Justin, but I think I'd like to introduce myself properly. Research name is EQ Equinox, and I've dedicated the past 3 years of my life to researching what really happened on 9/11. I researched with Simon Shack with the September Clues and also a lot of stuff independently. I'm the admin for September Clues page. I also have written a report on United 93 and a whole heap of stuff. I think, props. First, I just want to say props to you, Brian, especially, and Justin, for your guys' show, and I just think it's good to finally have a show where we can speak about the real truth of 9/11.
Oh, absolutely. That's the main reason why, I got going here, got a show set up because I needed to tell people about it, Even when we weren't into the, video fakery yet or whatever, I mean, we didn't know about all that, and we still knew it was an inside type of a job. We had to get the word out,
Yeah. It's good to have a...
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's good to have a radio show that's interactive. Many of you guys know I like to. I'm not obviously not an Alex Jones fan, but I just like listening to his rants because they're just absolutely off the chain and ridiculous.
They're funny. I mean, for comedic effect, definitely. Yeah.
It's good. I've never heard of a radio show where they're not trying to force a theory down your throat. I just want to say, if you people are new to this 9/11 research that we're doing, it is video fakery. It is basically, I'll just put the word Photoshop on label on it. There's a lot of Photoshops. You may look at one and think, oh, okay, that slipped. But I don't think anywhere else is releasing as much evidence as what we're doing live on radio, live on Facebook. So I'm just going to, if I don't make next week's show, which I probably won't, I just want to run over a couple of things for you guys and Brian. And how I want to do this, I'll run over the points that some clues I've discovered quickly. And I'll place the links up bit by bit into the chat box on the Dose of Reality chat box there. So you guys can go in and check them out, and I'll just, you know, we can just talk interactively and check out these links and stuff. Firstly, what I'll quickly do. Okay, I'll just put the September. This is link number one. So if you guys listen to back this on an MP3 download, you can just go through the links bit by bit. I won't defer off. I've written up a bit of a timeline, so I won't defer off the links bit by at all. So you just go through link by link. First of all, I'll put the September Clues page up. That's the one I do admin on. So is Brian. That's always there just to say hi or whatever. That's a Facebook page. Oh, one thing as well with the Facebook, with how I'm going to do this is with Facebook. I normally do forums a lot. I'm just finding Facebook's really good for this stuff. Actually, I'm thinking actually Facebook might be a lot better than forums. After years of working in forums, I'm just finding Facebook's a lot more interactive. It's pretty cool stuff, like not waiting for a reply on a forum. Like, yeah, what do you guys think about that? You guys like the Facebook and stuff?
Yeah, no, I mean, I love the Facebook for it. I mean, it's you can reach so many people, you know. I mean, a forum, if you're doing a forum, people can, you know, they have to kind of find you. You know what I mean? Facebook people can kind of find them and put stuff in their face a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I find as well. Hey, Justin, I was just saying you got I was hearing you say before you got like a war veteran friend that you work with and stuff. It's quite hard to sort of break through with the 9/11. Have I still got Justin?
Justin, you there? Justin
stepped out for a second.
Oh, that's cool. Look, I'm just going to get on with this anyway. What I was going to say is I've started posting in the real 9/11 Truth group on Facebook. Within 2 seconds, I had a Vietnam veteran talking to me, and yeah, he's all over it. He can see it's fake and stuff. So anyway, I'm just going to scoop right along with it. The links I'm going to post up are on Facebook, so you've got to log into Facebook to have a look at the links. But obviously, they're just public links. You don't need to like friend me or whatever it is on Facebook. But the links will be in the Real News Online. I posted them all night, last night. Okay, so I'll just okay. All right, I lost my first name. Okay, so, just give me one set. Okay. First of all, I just want to quickly run over the Shanksville crash site. I want to offer this not like some conspiracy theory, but actual evidence that there is no plane crash there. Anyone's welcome to challenge this. Come online to the Real News Online, Facebook, or on the forums. 24/7, we're here to, you know, sort of debunk the debunkers. Okay, first of all, I'm just going to post up my first picture. It's the Shanksville one. If you guys just want to have a quick look at that, it's in the chat.
Yeah, we see the link there. Oh, yeah, okay. Of course, anybody that's ever seen a plane crash can look at that and tell you that just doesn't look like a plane crash. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just a hole in the ground, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's supposed to be a 747 jumbo jet crash there, you know, with millions of parts and people and fuselage everywhere. Basically, there's zilch. But I'm going to go through. I don't like just saying it looks like it. We'll go through and actually prove this for a little bit. Okay. So even if we assume the whole plane broke up into pieces or buried itself into the ground, as the official story holds, the fuselage would have had to make some sort of crater in the ground where it hit. But there's nothing where the fuselage should have hit. I'll quickly put up this link here in the chat. Have this one. Yeah, someone just, Shane, you just wrote the Pentagon. Same deal with the Pentagon. They're both hand in hand. Okay, so you can see the link just put up there. I'll quickly check it out myself. Okay, I've shown a link of the actual size of the plane width, which is 165 feet from our rough estimations as it was last time. You can see the wingspan. Can you guys see that photo?
Yeah, with the yellow lines, where the wingspan. It should be much larger than the hole, like the wings.
Oh yeah, the hole.
That's what you're trying to show definitely. Right here, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can even see the left wingspan on the 45-degree upside down approach that it hit. Totally bogus there. So I'll go on to the next photo that we got. I'll run through all these pretty quick. We'll get through these. Okay. Okay, so like this next photo that I post in the chat box, you can see that we've done like estimation. And I've got to say props to Killtown as well. He's like one of the old researchers. I didn't really talk with him much, but a lot of this stuff I sort of worked with him back in the day before I even found clues and stuff. This is what really got me into 9/11. So anyway, back to it. We had the 40-degree invert and the upside-down approach onto the crater, okay? Now, what we've worked out is that with the 40-degree invert that it came in at, with its wings on the bottom of the fuselage, there's no possible way that the wings would have hit where they hit, as you can see where the wing crater is next. The wing marks are next to the crater. Can you guys see that?
Yep.
Yeah, cool. So we'll run through that one. I'll get through UA-93 pretty quick. Okay. All right. Yeah. So basically, yeah, immediately you should see a problem there. Even if the fuselage impacts at the very north part of the crater, there's no way the wings can impact the ground to produce the wing scars. The wings simply do not line up into the right place. Now, there's a video out there with go on to the crash a bit. There's a video out there with an F-414 jet smashing into a concrete barrier. Have you guys seen that one?
I don't know. James, have you seen that one?
It's a test. It's like some test they did anyway, and it shows like what a plane hits like a barrier. A lot of 9/11 debunkers try and use this as evidence.
I'm not sure if I've seen it.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, with UA-93, if the plane crashes into the ground at such a force that it explodes and buries itself into the ground, there should be significant deflection of debris backwards as well as other directions. Remember the video of the F-14 crash into the concrete wall? Much of the plane debris was deflected backwards, but for UA-93 crash, the grass wasn't even burnt on the outside of the crater. I mean, you know, we're not just saying that, oh, okay, the crash site looks a bit, you know, like nothing happened there. Like, I'll put this photo up into the... We're actually saying that the... That... Okay, let me paste. There's the second photo I'm putting up. We're actually saying that that there should have been like all... As you can see from this diagram I put up, there should have been all debris sprawling all around the field, all around the crash field. Okay.
Yeah, I think... So you know, I don't really think too many people in this that know 9/11, even if they don't realize how much of fakery a video was done. I don't really think too many people believe the Shanksville and the Pentagon crashes at all, really, except for the people that don't realize about 9/11 at all. You know.
Yeah, Yeah, definitely, you know, it's definitely a fake one. I'll close on this one last point. I'll put the second GIF up into the box there. It looks like what jet fuel actually looks like from a similar to a plane crash. If you guys click on that, it's the last one I want to click on. I agree a lot of people know it's not fake, but, I mean, we gotta get a bit technical here because, you know, we got to stand with a bit of ground here. I think, you know, so anyway, there's a GIF I just put up of a similar crash site that was an upside down crash. If you guys open that link there, you can see that the jet fuel all around. But if you go back to the Shanksville photos or just any photos, research it yourself. Don't just Google image Shanksville, UA-93. You guys will see that there's no jet fuel flying around. So anyway, I've moved on from the UA-93 and I quickly want to have a look at a few things on the fake videos of
which fake videos are we talking?
Well, the fake videos definitely looks like my conclusion is you know, I've done years of research and my conclusion is that all of the United 175 Boeing 767 videos are fake. It's not doctored with a plane put in. It definitely looks prefabricated. Are you on? Would you agree with this, Brian?
Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Every video with 175 absolutely is fake. Not just the airplane. The buildings also.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's a pre-rendered, you know, computer generated image. It's a fake Manhattan and fake plane and everything. But that's where they try to throw some of the confusion in with people like what's his name, Ace Baker and stuff like that, when he came out with his movie, they, you know, they'll talk about the fake plane, but they'll act like it was inserted on real video. But there's a lot of evidence to show that it's not real video.
Yeah, I mean, like, you look at it from the I try and look at it from the perp's point of view, of my years of research. You know, you look at it like, why on, I mean, too much could go wrong. I mean, why on earth, like, Ace Baker's trying to say that, oh, they're using live footage and then inserting planes in real time. I mean, come on, how much could go wrong with using live footage and inserting a plane in real time on real news? I mean, that's just a preposterous theory. But anyway, I'd like to get down to the facts. So let's look at the some real evidence right now. I'm going to put this link up of Masking Lines, CNN used footage live that on about this is the North Tower collapsing. CNN used this footage, and we can actually prove it's prefabricated. I even was going through this with this veteran last night. I've been through this with everyone. You guys make your mind up. I'll put the link up right now in the thing. Okay. Link's going up in Dose of Reality. Can you guys see that photo on Facebook?
Yep, I can see it.
All right, cool. So, okay, what we've got is this is one of the NIST releases, okay? What we've got is the UA-175 flying into the tower, and also we've got the collapse shot underneath. Now, all we did, me and Simon Shack worked on this a fair bit. All we did was just apply a simple contrast brightness tool to this shot, okay? Now, if you take a close look, you can, on the bottom shot, I hope everyone can see this, you can see the masking lines running through the, running alongside the World Trade Center. Can you guys see that? There's big, thick lines.
Yeah, the yellow lines almost. They're almost, like, yellowish.
Yeah, yellow tinge. Okay. You can talk with me later on about this for Facebook, but these lines actually go behind the World Trade Center 7. We can see them. It's been verified. So, I mean, not only does it look fake, we can actually prove it here. We've got the masking lines appearing in the footage going behind the World Trade Center 7. Yeah, I really want to put this out here. You know, we've got a lot of evidence here. I want to run through a few more photos before I wrap this up. But I want to put this out here. I mean, even if you guys maybe don't like, whoever's listening, if you guys don't maybe like talking like 9/11 all the time, and gosh knows I don't talk about it like all the time in my personal life. I've got a million things going on with my work, family, you know, clubs and stuff. But, you know, if you guys just want to tag yourself in the photo on Facebook, it's a public photo, or, you know, tag friends or like invite people to comment on it, please do it. Like, the more people we can tag up and get this word out, the better. So, yeah, you can see the masking lines going on through there. Okay, the banking one. I think I'm going to be real quick on the banking one because we talked about this last week. Okay, here's Ace Baker is a mad fraud. this guy that we heard him killing stuff.
Oh, yeah, we've played the clip a few times where he goes and he shoots himself on the air on Jim Fetz's show.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
so I'm just Fetz has probably had... You know, I'm gonna be bring that up when we have him on, and you know, there'll be a few things I'm gonna bring up.
Yeah, because you know, Ace was like the original no planer that Fetzer like was talking about. I'm not angry at Fetzer. I don't think the guy's a shill. You know, I just people. We're talking about 9/11. How improductive can it be? You know, I just think, yeah, there's the original show where Ace Baker came on, and yeah, I mean, Ace Baker doesn't represent no planers. Well, not even no planers. I personally don't like the term no plane. I wasn't there on 9/11. Actually, my mum lived around the corner at the time. I'm half American anyway. Look, we don't know what if something did hit the Trade Center or not. I mean, really, we weren't there. You know, we don't know what really happened. But all we can do is look at the footage, and there's definitely discrepancies in the footage. Anyway, so I'm going to shoot right along now and talk about the banking. The banking cannot bank in 12 degrees a second. I'll put this link up. I think I'll put that one down twice. Yeah, I'll put that down twice. Anyway, have a quick look. It's basically just talks about the banking. It's a 12 degrees a second. You can go through like the NIST and FAA reports. 12 degrees a second is not possible. I actually went to aviation experts the other day, had a big chat with them, and these people fly commercial airlines. It's a airline simulation robot around the corner from my house, one of those where you know, Brian, where you sit in the air at the fake cockpit and stuff?
Yep.
Yeah, basically one of them.
Yeah, it's a simulator.
Yeah, simulator. Well, we've got one of those around the corner from my house, Justin, and I dropped in the other day. And yeah, I had a bit of a chat with them. And these people, I talked with three pilots that were on leave doing this, running this simulator. They're pilots of commercial airlines, and they told me no freaking way. 12 degrees a second, 8 degrees a second, 7 degrees, none of that. These commercial airlines,
especially not at that altitude, of course. So,
oh no, definitely not with the heavy dense air.
Maybe a lot higher, it's possible, but nowhere near at a few thousand feet or whatever, you know, no way.
Oh yeah, well, definitely the airspeeds are definitely impossible at that speed. But the banking is ruled out.
Right.
Three degrees a second is how they bank. And that's pretty much any commercial airliner from a 737 to a 767 or Airbus. Then you've got the 4 degrees max. Now they stress that to me. Okay, so 4 degrees max a second is the roll rate banking turn of a 767. So what we're looking at on the video, those banking roll rates actually talked about in NIST, how it did this freaking massive Maverick or Goose Top Gun freaking F-16 turn into the World Trade Center. It's not physically possible. Anyways, I'm gonna move right along. So I got that one. Okay. I want to demonstrate like just how much they can fake the smoke. Say for instance, I'll put this second link up. It should all be nice and easy. I've got to look at it myself. Okay, so if you check out that second link I put up in the Dose of Reality chat box, you can see the smoke clones up here in the smoke where they use the clone tool. The clone tool. You guys familiar with that? The clone tool.
Yeah.
What?
Look at the smoke on the right. You can see that the first two red in the red squares are the exact same smoke pattern.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The loop. Okay. Yeah.
Look at it. It's exactly the same. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
And the two little birds in the green thing I've highlighted as well. The two little birds. You see the cute little birds there repeated themselves as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's another demonstration of how they were faking. That's actual official 9/11 memorial from the 9/11 museum. You know, get on them, folks, if you want. Call them up. I mean, I might call them up one day and ask them about this. We got this from the website. They've actually pulled this off the website. The video is still on YouTube. I placed all the video up in there, but it's actually footage. You can see the link where I put it there. That's footage from the National 9/11 Memorial.org. Okay, that's what the footage they're putting out. Okay, that's official footage, and it's fake smoke duplication. It's from the movies 9/11 Stories and Survival and Loss, and features completely fake footage. I mean, tag yourselves up in there, guys. I mean, you know, get this word out. Okay, so I'm moving right along. I've got two more. I've got three more on the thing, and I'll move on to Vixens. I'll ignore the hats off one. That's a bit hard. Chisholm. Yeah, hats off. Pretty good on this one. Okay, I'll put this next link up in there. I'll go through this one really quickly. Okay, that's the hats off.
The hats off glitch on the tower. Is that what you're putting up now?
Yeah, it should be up there. I don't think that won't work.
Yeah, it's there.
Okay, did it work? If you click on it.
I'm clicking on it now and find out. Yep, the GIF works. If you click on the picture after, it brings you there. It works.
Yeah, cool. It's all in Dose of Reality, you know. Just invite anyone to talk about stuff. You can see the actual frame shear in a manner not ascribable to known video artifacts. I mean, the whole World Trade Center literally lifts off. That's just not normal in all. I know there are glitches which appear on TV, but I mean, if anyone...
There's some that they can't debunk. EQ. I mean, like, especially. I think maybe the best one might be the one where the background's missing in the evening news, but it's there in the live shot. But in the evening the alleged live shot, and then in the evening news, there's a plane and there's the towers, and all of a sudden the whole Hudson River's gone and all the boats are gone. It's like, how does that happen? You know,
you can't debunk that. I've seen people try and say, oh, the camera angle's looking up in one shot and the camera angle's looking down the other. Therefore, the background disappears with the vocal aspect ratio. but not with the not from that view. It's taken from Five Pan Plaza, about half a story up the Empire State Building. It's pretty much in line, on par with the Empire State Building, halfway up, looking east towards the World Trade Center. And you're right, Brian. The Hudson River should be in that shot. There's no doubt about it.
If it was a problem with the camera, where the camera had some sort of, let's say that people want to say it had a glitch or some sort of like whiteout effect, well, then why aren't the towers and the plane whited out too? You know what I mean? How does it just leave those things, but it gets rid of the background? It's ridiculous. The camera angle isn't too high. You should definitely still be able to see a good portion of that river and all those little boats that were parked in the back of it there.
Oh, definitely. Like, CNN have got, like, this is supposedly from CNN and Devin Clark. They've got state-of-the-art HD freaking, the best in the world cameras in the media capital of the world. And you can't tell me that the shoreline of the Hudson River, which is only about, I mean, I've been to Ground Zero, you know, I've been there. I've been to Staten Island, all through there a fair few times. And yeah, the shoreline's only, not what, I mean, you guys call it in miles, I call it kilometers. It's only about 2.5. It should be in that shot. Anyway, I'm going to move right along. The international shot, quickly run through that, put that one up there. It's a bit of a complicated one, so I won't spend too much time on it. It basically shows that the cockpit, it doesn't line up with a normal cockpit. You guys can ask about this one later on, but basically the cockpit smooths out more like an Airbus 310-200. Even like the jet engine on the 767-200 doesn't appear in the right direction as well. That's using a state-of-the-art technique with a 3D model Boeing 767-200 in another flight simulator landscape, not the one that I was talking about, but computer one, where you can actually use the twin towers and take off from the JFK airport, and we can line it up and prove it's all fake. That's what one there. I like to bring this one up. This is probably the first one after it went United 93. This is my classic one. It went United 93, nosed out, and then I watched September Clues. That's how long. Okay, I hit that GIF. I hit that three times. Maybe that's how excited I was. Nosed out. If you guys click on this GIF here, it appears in the Fox 5 footage that the nose comes out the other side of the building. Now, if you click on that GIF and have a quick look, this is the GIFs that we use. We've got all the research backed up. This is the actual GIF that you use. You can see that the 767 coming out the other side of the World Trade Center actually fits. The 767 and before it hits the World Trade Center, and a frame of the 767 after it hits the World Trade Center is the nose. And the nose actually both line up as if the nose went through the other side of the building.
And intact. I mean, it's as if it went through and came out 100% intact. That's the big point you got to make with that, you know?
Oh, definitely, yeah. It comes out through the other side intact. It's fake. It's CGI. There's no way a plane, I'll quickly go through the dynamics of a 767 because I have researched it. A plane like that would telescope the moment it hits the Trade Center. We've talked about this before when it's half in, half out. And basically, it's the plane's still intact. Like, with dynamics of a plane, like, if you just Google a bird hit on a 767, bird hit on any commercial airline, you'll see what type of damage they do when a bird hits a plane. Now, for a plane at 500 miles an hour, which is, mind you, possible at sea level to start with, for it to go through the other side is literally impossible. But what we see in the Fox 5 footage, when they do a sneaky cutout, they actually cut out the footage, what we see is a shape the exact size of the plane. That's what's demonstrated in the GIF. Check it out. You can see the GIF right there. It speaks for itself. We used a bump map to make sure like it's the right size. But not only that, there's been a people say, "Oh, it's dust that comes out the other side of the plane." No, it's not dust.
No, there's still images where you can see that they try to make it look like it's a plane, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously, they're doctored images. It's not a real photograph of a real plane coming through the building, but there are images where you can see that that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, definitely. And you can actually play with the contrast, a simple contrast thing where the dust and the Trade Center have like a light green effect to it because it's CGI. And the nose of the plane is actually that it takes on a darker contrast. So we can actually prove that it's the nose of the plane. Okay, I think I've got... Okay, here's one more just in regards to 9/11 footage. This is groundbreaking stuff here. I'm glad we can talk about this on radio. We can actually get a lot of this stuff out here. All right, here's the jackpot gif. It's one of my favorite ones too. Okay. Okay, if you click on that, you can see the picture shows a moment at 8:59 a.m. when all four synchronized TV networks of ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, yeah, another indication, they were all synchronized. So that's another indication that they were live broadcast or managed by one central centralized studio. I mean, if you guys take a look at that photo, these are competing networks, yeah?
Yeah, this is a good photo. This is one of the ones that when I first started realizing what was going on, that I used this to show people a lot. It is a good photo because it's the exact same shot from all four networks, which is – it's just insane because, first of all, they're probably – you know, I mean, what are the chances that they're going to have – they're going to share their coverage with each other like that? Maybe people would say, you know, because of the events of the day, they were sharing their coverage, but this is early in the day. Don Daler, when Don Daler was on, I mean, it was only, you know, it was just about 9 o'clock in the morning. I mean, this stuff was just going on, you know?
Yeah, this is actually taking a few seconds before Don Daler speak. And then when Don Daler talks, obviously, there's the beep-beep, which you can hear in audio cue, but I'll save that for another day. But yeah, competing networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, 8:59, all showing the exact same footage. All right, okay. I want to wrap up on the 9/11 footage, and I just want to go through a couple photo discrepancies with the 9/11 victims. Okay, at the end of the day, folks, we're not trying to offer theories here. We're just trying to come up with – we don't know exactly what happened that day. I mean, to us, it definitely looks like the footage is fake. It looks like it's probably no planes were used. Probably no one died. The World Trade Center was evacuated. Probably been empty for years. You know, it looks like no one died because of the fake photos of the memorial victims. But, you know, I think the evidence will speak for itself. I mean, you can't tell me, like, if I'm about to show you right now that I'm putting this out there as real proof, not just some theory. You can't say to me that, you know, I've got, like, at least 20, just 20 off the top of my hand. I've probably got 10 to show right now. But at least 20 off the top of my hand, I can just show you fake setup, Photoshop photos in regards to the 9/11 victims. Okay, the first one I want to go to is the 9/11 wall of tears, so to speak.
Yeah, that's the newer one where we're showing them in alphabetical order, the posters, right?
Yeah, that's the one, man. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I just put the link up in the thing there. Okay, if you guys have a look, this is from the 9/11. This is one I put up in the Real News Online for you guys to check and share all over the world if you want. This is the 9/11 wall of tears. Okay, now look at the close look at the photos that have been placed up in different types. So obviously to give the impression by different family members and stuff. The photos are actually appearing in alphabetical order. You've got Parada, Palermo, Pambon, Param, Pryor, Perez, Puckett.
Well, it's close to alphabetical. It's the same first letter. It's not exactly alphabetical.
Yeah, exactly. It's all in the same group.
Because Pavon should be before Peralta, you know what I mean? But they are all P's right there next to each other.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, what? They all come down at the same time and appeared in alphabetical order.
Here's the second one. Line everybody up. Everybody's last name starts with a P. Okay, you guys pin your stuff up now. Everybody whose last name starts with an R. Okay, you guys are up now.
Okay, P's, you line up over here. R's, you line up over here. That's ridiculous considering like the amount of pressure that I would have been in. And it's a wall as well. It's a public wall. It's not like they're going to shut it off and go, okay, we're going to stick its photos up for you guys. These photos are supposed to be stuck up by the family members, and they're appearing in alphabetical order. They're just basically taken off a pile of paper and thrown up. I'll put the second link up to verify this. So we go to, I'll put the second link up. If you have a close look, it goes Param, Puckett, Perez, the P's, and then it goes Ramos, Riley, Rex Wheeler, Rand, Reeves. So he goes from P to R. Obviously, there was no Qs.
Yeah.
Probably a dot of 911. So that's the second on the wall. This is actually a different part of the wall. So, yeah, a game with a different wall altogether. And game was saying the exact same alphabetical order, missing posters appearing all at once on 911. So I'm going to go on to this. Okay, I'm going to go on this one. This one's called Throat Slit. It's got a pretty gnarly, gruesome name to it, but I assure you it's nothing scary about it all. Throat Slit is in regards to the... sorry, just a second. I just had a bit of a... Okay, Throat Slit is in regards to our research that we've done and to the type of photoshopping that is going on with the 9/11 victims, okay? We're not afraid to bring up the real issues here. I mean, if this was just some stupid theory, you know, we would have left it ages ago, but this happens in, like, all the 9/11 victims. Thousands of these photos are photoshopped, and it really brings a question as into their existence altogether. Okay, the first one is... Who have we got here? Brian Wiltshire, an FDNY firefighter. I'll put that link up into the Dose of Reality chat box. If you guys check on that, you can see that it's a Photoshop highlighted in red. Okay, I'll go on to the next one and get through another throat suit demonstration. Now, this is just a handful I got last night. This isn't like...
I don't see it in the chat. You dropped it in the chat?
Wait a sec. Let me get this. I'll try it again. Sorry, man.
No, it's all right. Nothing's popped up in there in the last 2 minutes.
Okay. Is that working now? Can you click on that?
Yeah, it worked now. Yeah, it worked now.
Does it come up from Brian Belcher?
It doesn't. Yeah, no, it says Paul Beyer.
Oh, okay. I'm moving on to the second one. It's the same deal anyway. I'm going to put these links on right... I'll put the Brian Belcher one. I'll do it properly. It's the first time I've sort of really... Second time on radio, first time I'm trying to share the research. It's probably the best way to sort of interact. Here's the Brian Belcher one, I think. Oh.
Yeah, that's him.
Okay, you got the Brian Belcher one?
Yep. I recognize him by his face. People's names after a while, you know what I mean? It's as crazy as that is.
Yeah. I think it's quite a big find, Brian. I try to stay away from sort of theories, but like, I don't know, maybe someone did die down there. I don't really know. Like I said with the plane, I don't know. I wasn't down there that day. We're just trying to offer some concrete evidence here. And I've heard lots of stories like, maybe they photoshopped them to make them look nice for the memorial photos. I mean, that is bullcrap. I mean, we've got like thousands of 9/11 victims.
No memorial for that.
No, not at all, man. I think this stinks to high heaven that all these victims are photoshopped. You can go on to our legacy.com, guys. This is all research I've done myself. You can go to Families of 9/11 Truth. You can go on the CNN Memorial site, the Candle Fitzgerald Memorial site. And like, all these people are just photoshops. Maybe one or two you could think, maybe it's just a Photoshop. But I'm telling you, we literally got thousands of these victims.
There's tons of them. We've seen tons of them, you know. I've posted a shitload of them in the group, you know, for a while. Like, it's just some of them are harder to tell because they did a little bit better of a job on them. But some of them are just, like, blatantly obvious, like the Alison Wildman one. That one's obvious. If you have a link to that handy, that'd be good to throw that one up.
Yeah, I actually didn't get Alison out last night. I'll probably throw one up, but I've got one just the same. I'm gonna open up in my box before I do it.
So the guy with the glasses on, with the thing behind him, with the what the hell's his name? I have the picture in my pictures. I'm gonna take a look at it. Hang on.
Oh yeah, the guy with the glasses.
Kestenbaum.
His name's
Kestenbaum.
Hey.
His last name is Kestenbaum.
Yep, I got him.
Yeah,
he's got that sort of bacon.
Yeah, if you got him and if you got Scarpita, Michelle Scarpita, that one's bad too. That one's blatantly obvious.
I've got pretty much ones. The ones I've got about we've got about seven more. I'll quickly just run through them. She's not in it, but I've got that guy you're talking about. Okay, yeah. The one I'm putting up right now in the Dose of Reality chat box for you guys to check out is, her name was, I made these photos up for you guys last night. Her name is Amy O'Doherty, and this is the Voice of September 11 Memorial Site versus Cantor Fitzgerald Memorial Site. Now, you go on and you look at her photo, they're using the same head on different shots.
Yeah.
If you look at that link there.
The thing with the women, it's easier with the women, I think, is a good point, because their hairstyles, you know what I mean? Like, a woman would die to get her hair exactly the same on two different days like that if she liked the way her hair was done, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost impossible. Yeah. And it's exactly the same, you know, on a lot
I think
of them.
I think they will rely on this, but the good thing is that's why I choose particular ones and have a good look at them before I put them up. Now, if you have a close look, she's using the same smile in the same shots, but there's also a dead giveaway, which I find always is the light reflection on the forehead.
Yeah, to the right of her mouth. Look at the light reflection on the right of her mouth. It'd be her left side, but our right, because we're looking at her face. You see the light reflecting there, and then on her chin, right below her lip?
Yeah, I can see, you can see that spot on. And again on her forehead. It's the light reflection.
Right above her nose. Yeah, you can see the same exact light reflection.
Yeah, see, when time comes along, you can sort of, into the research, we can say, hey, look, this is definitely Photoshop. We're not mucking around here. These guys are Photoshopped, and raises a lot of suspicion into their existence. I've got another Hug Me clone I'm going to put into the Dose of Reality chat box. Right.
Okay. We've probably got about 10 minutes left on the show, though, because my headset keeps beeping. It's going to die on us and cut out. So
okay, I'll run through
and try and go through these next few quick, but... Believe me, next week I'll be putting a lot of these up too on the show for everybody. So
that's the main reason why I also called you up. I'm going to have all this set to go, talking to you interactively. But you guys have this all set to go for next week as well. Next one's Howard Kurtzum. See how the Hug Me clone, the guy appears in the background. It's in the Dose of Reality chat box.
Yeah, this is the one I was talking about. I mean, this one's. I mean, look at the light reflection on his cheek. Look at his smile. I mean, they didn't even bother to change the background. They just added a hug, and they did that to many of them. That's the thing. They've done it to tons of them. They throw an arm around them and say it's a different picture.
Yeah, I mean, a picture says 1,000 words, but you know what happens when the pictures are fake? Right.
Well, it says a lot. I mean, if they're photoshopping victims, it makes you have to doubt all of them. You know.
Yeah, actually, what I'm going to do to make this nice and quick, to make it easy. Okay, I've got 5 more. We'll just run through them real quick. I'll put them in the Dose of Reality chat box right now. Like this. Okay, throat slit, throat slit, throat slit. If you guys just want to have a quick look at it, the first one, Yamel Yeager Marino, I just put her up there. I have a look at this blatant Photoshop of the 9/11 victims with their head sticking on top of the neck. Can you see that one?
Yep.
That's okay. We'll move on to the next one. Here's a classic. This is one I found. Isis Rivera. Okay, look at his neckline. If you click on that second one, look at his neckline. It's a basic Photoshop. Okay, none of these people are related. These are all supposedly people that died at 9/11, and they're all just magically Photoshopped. I'd like to see anyone trying
two different color skin tones there.
Yeah, it's like they... Put
a Puerto Rican guy's head on a white guy's body.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it looks like, hey?
Yeah.
Okay. The next one is Jeff Campbell. You can see the throat slit Photoshop effect there. Same deal, nothing real special with that one. Next one is 9/11 Lynn Morris. Same effect there. And the last one, Brad Fetchett.
Oh, yeah, we know him well.
Okay. No, I want to explain this to you guys, okay? When you look at this Brad Fetchett photo, the last one I put up in the box, that's his memorial photo on the right-hand side. And then the main photo in the background is him dancing with grandmother. But basically all they've done is just put the photo onto some older guy's head, it looks like, and photoshopped it on. You can even see with the yellow... arrows that I've indicated, that you can see the Photoshop in that exists that it looks like some old man's wrinkles that are still showing through in the original Photoshop.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to share with you, man, and everyone else out there. I just wanted to bring a bit of light. If you guys want to talk about this on Facebook or share it around the net, go for it. I mean, I think it's a lot better than looking talking about World Trade Center 7 or, you know, space blue beams and stuff. I think, you know, this is actual manipulation we can see in front of our eyes. So,
well, yeah, that's why really they, that's why they talk about WTC 7, you know, to distract everybody and keep them. How did World Trade Center 7 come down? If nothing hit it, yada, yada, yada. And then they don't even, they just stay stuck in that loop forever and they don't look at the. I mean, even the collapse footage of 7 is bullshit, you know? I mean, there's videos of it where the west side of it's on fire, and then there's videos of it where it's not on fire at the same time, and when, you know, I mean, you know the videos. I mean, you've seen them.
Yeah.
I've seen the shots real close up, and it's quiet, and then the shots from way down the street, and it's real, real loud, you know? It's like, what?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the World Trade Center 7 appears blue in some shots. It appears devoid of windows. It's crap. I mean, people really got to get on the proper things. Like, where are the victims? What happened with the planes? They don't even fly like that. You know, that's where it all really lies.
Oh, anyways, vaporized. I'm going to try to...
What's that, man?
I said, everything vaporized.
Yeah. It's all vaporized like the Death Star of Star Wars. Anyways, I'm going to wrap it up with that, man. If you could turn this call off, because I don't know how to on Skype.
But, yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for stopping in and showing everybody, you know.
Anytime, and good luck next week. I'll talk to you on Facebook. All right. Yeah,
all right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. All right, guys. Justin, James, you guys there? Anything else you guys wanted to add on the pictures that we just saw or anything like that? I'd just like to say that there's a ton, you know, for anybody that's still listening. I know it's getting late now and we've dropped a few people, but there's just tons of examples of that. I mean, there's some that are look even more blatant, and I'll post a few in the group after tonight. It's just, there's no denying that they photoshopped a bunch of the victims, you know? I think what they might have done, though, is I don't think that they actually created the pictures from scratch. I think that they bought some sort of, you know, they got some sort of, like, album of actors and, like, a pool of pictures, and then they photoshopped them further from there. Because, what do you think about that, James?
Well... Yeah, I mean, you got examples of people that, you know, like the barcode picture where it's obviously the exact same picture. I don't know whether that points to it being created or whether it was an album snap. You know, the circumstantial evidence, I don't know which way it points. You could make a case for it either way, you know.
Yeah, the reason I say it's probably... that they got a pool of images rather than creating them from scratch is because if they could create one from scratch, why not just create a second one and not have it be blatantly photoshopped? You know what I mean? And Chris Kendall made that point when he called in, and I thought that was a good point that he made. It's like, you know, why would they – if they can create them so easily from scratch, why create one from scratch and then photoshop it onto the second and leave so much evidence behind? Why not just create two images of the person from scratch, you know?
Yeah.
Either way, it's a forgery, you know. I just tend to think that they probably, most of them were, you know, random, like, you know, models or something, you know. And they, you know, they had the pool of images. But either way, they're Photoshopped. So that no family would ever allow that to happen. I mean, that's just the most disrespectful thing that, you know. Could you imagine if your kid or your father died supposedly at the World Trade Center, and then you go look on the website and they have fake images of him. Like, they take a picture of him and just place his head on another body or put him at a different place where he wasn't really at. Like, why would they do that? You know, they would never do that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they'd have to notice first, but you would have to think they'd be checking that all the time. Like, I mean, it's more like they're not just going to hand them the pictures and then not go and check it out, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, the family members will be seeing those pictures, you know. maybe sending him in, you know.
Yeah, and I think the thing that needs to be addressed about, you know, the plane and like when we were just going over some of the 175 stuff, I think the most damning thing is the images of it stuck halfway in the building. I mean, you know, you have an airplane that's stuck halfway in the building, and some of the images that I saw that you had dug up even three quarters of the way or close to all the way in, and there's no hole in the building, you know, and there's no plane parts being sheared off, and the building's not breaking. It's just, it's at some point you have to use common. I mean, that's just common sense. I mean, it's not even.
Yeah, there's two videos that I've found that show the plane completely embedded in the tower with no hole. Absurd, and you don't need to go too much into the advanced schematics of it, because anyone with half a brain knows that an aluminium plane can't penetrate a steel building like that.
Yeah, anything. Nothing can penetrate anything like that. I mean, no object can penetrate let's make it even more basic, right? I mean, maybe I shouldn't say no object, but I can't think of anything that can go through something else and neither one of them is breaking. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, it's almost like teleportation or something, you know? It's like ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Like, obviously, a plane is heavy and extremely heavy, and if it's going fast, it has tremendous kinetic energy. But what people need to remember is that, just to quickly go over it, that the tower, it wasn't just a case of, well, okay, you know, once it penetrates the facade, there's nothing but space between the plane and the other side of the building. The way we told the building design was, you know, 4 inches of concrete on each floor that extends right across to the other side, steel decks, steel trusses, right the way through, rows and rows of them, all the way to the other side of the building, plus all the office furniture on those floors, you know, heavy filing cabinets and such, and all that, and then to penetrate out the other side to go through the same thing all over again. It's absurd, and not just the cockpit and the heavy middle of the plane, but the wings and the wingtips particularly would just shear off. There's no way that they could slice through steel in the manner that is shown on the video. That's just not possible. I mean, you know, you can liken it to other skyscrapers in your own city and think, what would happen if a plane flew alongside that building, you know, just the cockpit just misses the building and the wing hits the building. The wing's going to shear off, whether it's concrete or steel. The wing's not going to slice through the building. Like, no. Can you imagine, like, say the CN Tower in Toronto, a plane flies like alongside it and the wing hits the CN Tower. Do you think it's going to slice through the building and slice the top of the building off? Or do you think the wing's just going to shear off? I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going to happen. And I know it's concrete versus steel, but it's a very similar argument. That's never going to happen. It doesn't matter what speed it's going or what kinetic energy it has, because it's not going to happen that way.
No, and you, the friggin' thing's hollow. The nose of the plane. I mean, that's like saying, it's almost like saying I could drive my car through that building and come out the other side. You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous.
It's not just the steel, but and the concrete and the trusses. Let's not underestimate that thick safety glass and how strong that would be. To go through would also be tough, and it's ridiculous. I mean, and you think, like, jet airliners are an amazing invention, you know, they really are. I mean, when you look at, basically most crashes are down to pilot error or maintenance error. Very few planes are brought down by mechanical issues, but that aren't obviously just maintenance issues, no mistakes, but they're also quite frail, and even ice on a wing can bring a plane down. I mean, they have to have de-icing systems. I mean, that's how frail a plane can be, and you put it in the wrong... And you've got to think how brittle that plane would be, particularly... I mean, we know it can't fly at those speeds at that altitude, but even if it could, it would be right on its design limit. The plane would be just about ready to go into a stall and fall apart. So that plane would be so brittle, and it would just snap apart the minute it hit that, that tower.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just totally ridiculous, you know? And just, I don't know. I can't, you know, I remember on the day that that they first showed the video, I remember saying to myself, that looks a little weird. Like, but I was so caught up in everything that I never really thought twice to think that they would pull something like that off and fake it. But I remember just seeing it, like, it looked, I didn't even really notice the half-in thing. Just the plane's approach from the Herzakani shot, it just looks so, you know, computer generated. It just does, you know, and it just, I didn't think to myself at the time to think there was some sort of hoax going on or anything. I remember my instant reaction was, that looks a little weird, but you were taken back so much by the emotion of everything that was it, you know. I didn't really think about it much after until, yeah. Jesus Christ, I mean, like 2 years ago now, you know.
Yeah, and also as well, just the schematics of it, the exterior columns had aluminium cladding over top of them as well, so it's got to go through the cladding, through that steel, through the and the thing about the concrete is, when you look at that picture of Flight 175, allegedly, it's on a tilt, like the wingspan is covering several floors, so that's
even more things to go through, yeah.
Is slicing through concrete.
Yeah.
Once it goes through. It's just, and then the tail fin as well, after all that goes through, it goes through all that material and the plane doesn't lose any momentum. It doesn't lose any noticeable speed. And the explosion is so delayed. And in particular, the schematics of the fireball are absurd. I mean, that plane supposedly hit floor 78 and the red flame part of the fireball goes above the roof line by about 10 stories, and the soot part goes another 10 stories. So 78, 88, 980. Yeah, that's a 50, 60 story fireball, which is taller than like what Building 7 would be. I mean, that's ridiculous for a plane that supposedly had 10,000 gallons of jet fuel on it, which is not even half a tank. There are videos of jet crashing, and the fireball, the flame part of it, would never be more than a few stories tall. It's ridiculous to think a fireball would be that tall.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
It's stupid.
And then again, you know, before we wrap it up, we got to mention Flight 11 real quick. If you know, you look at the video of, you guys can all YouTube this. I'll throw the proper link up after. I'll grab it, but it's on our 9/11 anniversary page. If you go there and look at the Flight 11 stuff, I mean. The thing is already supposedly in the building, and there's no hole in the building, and it doesn't even appear until, like, you know, almost 20 seconds later, and you can actually see the animator or whatever you would call the person using the computer making these images. You can see them using some sort of tool and drawing a black line in to show you the wings extending to the edge of the building. But it's not there when the explosion happens and when the plane's already supposedly in the building. The marks from the wings aren't there yet. I mean, they're not there for a noticeable amount of time. It's like 18 seconds or something. It's really, you know, it's kind of surprising how bad of a job they did on some of it. But it's, you know, most people, as we know, they won't even look at this stuff. So, I mean, I guess they did a good job because it worked. But, I mean, it really is some sloppy editing afterwards, or you know, they didn't go back and fix a few things, but it's really absurd.
Well, I mean, but it goes throughout the whole thing. I mean, that it was a clear sky blue day, so they didn't have to worry about animating clouds into the footage. Similarly, although a couple of footages do show some clouds and that's suspicious, but similarly, also with the airplane, they had to just have the plane disappearing statically like that and not breaking, because can you imagine trying to animate that in 47 different shots?
Exactly.
The plane breaking off and wings breaking off. They would never be able to do it.
Like the when we compare the different approaches of the plane and they look different in different shots, and you know, if you have all these pieces falling off the plane and then you can compare those images, it'd be impossible for them to get it to match, to get it even close.
Yeah, and it's probably hard enough just getting the fireball and the smoke to to match or relatively match from shot to shot. They had their hands full with that. And but just on that note, I mean, one thing I've always wondered, people always talk about 9/11/01 and how they would have chosen that date far in advance, but it was a clear sky blue sunny day, and you can't predict weather 30 years in advance, so I wonder whether they did choose that day or not, because, you know, I mean, it had to be a clear sky blue day, because it would have been too hard to animate the clouds in, you know, and they don't have control over the weather. Well, maybe they do, but I do wonder on that aspect of it, whether they really did settle on that day or not. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but it does make a lot of sense that maybe I would tend to think that they probably had an idea of around like what month they wanted to do, and then they probably did wait for the clear blue day, like you were saying, you know. I'm just gonna drop a link in the chat real quick for the video where the background disappears that we were talking about earlier, and the whole Hudson River disappears. I dropped that in the chat box for everybody. If anybody wants to click on that, you can see that it's obviously a fake image. I mean, the river and the boats and everything is gone when the plane, the second plane approaches. What were you going to say, James?
I was going to say, but then again, I wasn't there on 9/11, and if, as we do suspect from some eyewitness testimony, they smoked the whole area out. And maybe it wasn't a clear sky blue day, you know, maybe there were clouds. I mean, unless you were there on 9/11, you wouldn't really know what it was. But it's obvious that from the footage we've been shown that it's being purported as a perfect clear blue day. But the event took place within a several hour span. So, I mean, who knows whether it was or wasn't. I mean, 9/11/01 seems like the perfect date, but at the same time, there's probably a few other dates they could have used where they could flip the numbers around and get a similar effect. But, yeah, I mean, it's not really that important. But
Shane in the chat says he remembers that day and it was really clear. And I think Shane, where are you from? New Jersey, right? Which is not too far, which is like right across the way. So maybe it was a really clear day, but
I'm sure it was. Because you couldn't have people from New York that are like, well, hang on, it was a cloudy day and it was raining. Why does the footage show us? You know, but that's just my point. The kind of day where it's clear blue sky and no clouds, you don't get that often, you know? And just how could they know 30 years before that day would be a clear blue day, you know? It does make me wonder, people who are quite adamant that they chose that date and it was going to be on that date. I just wonder sometimes, but there's no way of knowing, so there's not much point of really speculating on it.
Yeah. No, not at all. Justin, you have any points you want to bring up before we wrap it up? I gotta wrap it up. My headset's about to die on me and stuff. He might not even be here right now.
Yeah, I think he might have jumped off about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, well, we're going to wrap it up, but anybody that's still listening that hasn't, you know, I assume anybody that's listening has probably heard most of what we have to say on 9/11, but anybody that hasn't, you know, the best thing I could recommend is if you go to the page up top that says 9/11 anniversary 2012, you know, that's me, James, and Justin. We did a show, and all the audio is right there, and as we, you know, you click an audio, it'll play. You'll still have the window open, and we're going to walk you through a ton of evidence, ton of videos, ton of images. And if you want more after that, go to the page labeled 9/11, The Hoax Uncovered. That's another show that the three of us did, but that was like probably 5 or 6 months ago. But we did have a pretty good grasp of the fakery that was going on back then. I think we knew a little less than we do now, but it was still a show that's definitely worth checking out. And I made our forum public now, so if you go to our forums, it's listed underneath the More tab. It's the first one. It's public now. You don't have to wait to get accepted. So if you just go there, you can just join, and there's a whole bunch of people now. I made the mistake of having to make it so I would approve people, and it never sent me any notifications, and I forgot to check the admin panel for, like, probably a week, and there's 132 people that have been sitting there waiting to join, and so I added them all today. So hopefully the forum will get a little busier now. That that I did that.
Yeah, enjoy the health talk. I mean, I think we really could one day do a whole show on that, the health and you know, so social aspects and discussions like that, and particularly, I mean, you know, just briefly, I mean, you know, talking. I know myself too. Talking to my parents, who are in their 50s, and older people, they things like ADD and things, and didn't even seem to really be an issue 40 years ago. But then again, you know, those kids probably just got sick of the best, you know, if they were being naughty. So maybe they've got a lot of hidings or something. But yeah, I definitely think diet and all those sorts of things have got so much to do with so many of the illnesses and issues that young kids have today, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think so too. And we can talk for a while about that. We should definitely do a whole show on that one time. I guess that's gonna pretty much wrap it up for tonight. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Everybody that's still here, tune in next week. Next week we're gonna have Jim Fetzer on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. We're gonna start definitely at 9, not at 10. 9 p.m. Eastern time. We'll be launching that show, and I hope everybody can tune into that. And in the meantime, like I said, check out our 9/11 pages that we have already done on both of them, on the Hoax Uncovered and on the anniversary page. All the audio that you need is there in order, and all the video and images you hear us talk about during the show are all right on the page. So you guys don't have to bounce all over the internet. You don't have to go to Facebook, MySpace, any other site. You can just get it all right there. And we try to make it as simple as we could for everybody. But I want to thank everybody that called in. I want to thank my co-host, Justin. I want to thank James, who is pretty much like a co-host here, too. He's always on contributing. I want to thank Equinox for calling in with the some of the information he left. Brad that called in earlier. Anybody else that I'm forgetting, thank you. You've been listening to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm Brian Stavely. Have a good night.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How's everybody doing tonight? All right. I'd like to welcome all to the right. stage all the lyrically right. acclaimed. Woo. I like this young man because when he came out with the phrase, he went from ashy to classic.
All right.
I like that.
All right.
So everybody in the house, give a warm round of applause for the Notorious B.I.G. The Notorious B.I.G., ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for him, y'all. A nigga never been as broke as me. I like that. When I was young, I had 2 pair of leads. Besides that, the pinstripes and the gray. The one I wore on Mondays and Wednesdays. While niggas flirt, I'm throwing tigers on my shirt and alligators. You wanna see the inside? I see you later. Here come the drama. Oh, that's that nigga with the fake. Wow! Why you punch me in my face? Stay in your place. Play your position. Here come my intuition. Go in this nigga pocket. Rob him while his friends watching. That hoes clocking. Here comes respect. This crew's your crew, or they might be next. Look at they man, big man, they never try. So we roll with them, stole with them. I mean loyalty, niggas bought me milks at lunch. The milks with chocolate, the cookies, butter crunch. 88, Oshkosh and blue and white dust, ask Slice.
Sky is the limit, they know that you keep on. Just keep on pressing on. Sky is the limit.
I was ashamed, my crew was lame. I had enough heart for most of them. Long as I got stuff for most of them. So, even when I was wrong, I got my point across. They depicted me the boss. Of course, my orange